On the show today, we have Arizona Federal Credit Union's Eric Givens and Digital Insights' Dan Weiss talking about adopting biometrics at your credit union. So check it out. How's it going, guys?
Good. You, Mike?
Good.
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you for asking. You guys are on the cutting edge of this stuff, and it's really cool to hear these things working and working well. So, I mean, but before we get started here, Dan, can you give us just a quick 411 on the status of biometrics in the financial services industry right now?
Yeah, I'd love to. So biometrics came on really fast at the end of 2014 because Apple introduced the Touch ID API for app developers. Consumers saw what was possible, started pounding on the door of all of their institutions, saying, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? And so a bunch of us, Digital Insight and Arizona Federal, we jumped off of that cliff very early in 2015, dove head in, hoped that there was water, found that there was, with Touch ID. We then followed that up because the water was warm, was nice to swim, with being able to use a selfie to log in as well.
Yes. And MasterCard was doing some of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can see that it's getting crowded down here. So we had to find some new water, some new areas to work in. So then we just recently on, I think February 11th, we launched Android Fingerprint with Arizona Federal being the first here to do that. I think actually even like one of the first few credit unions in the entire nation to be supporting that. And so it's gone so fast, but then even it's amazing in financial institutions, some people are still lagging, and there's consumers that knocking has gone almost to pitchforks of just give it to me. When is it going to be there, man? So it's amazing how quickly science fiction is becoming reality.
Yeah. And there's a cool factor with it too. You know, my credit union has such and such. I mean, I just interviewed Mountain America a few weeks ago, and they have the whole iVerify scanning stuff. And so I saw this story and I jumped on it. Like, yeah, let's talk more about it, get more people on the bandwagon. And Eric, I mean, so tell us, how does the fingerprint scanner work at your credit union, and how are folks digging it?
Well, I mean, we have obviously the Apple Touch ID fingerprint. We also use iPrint ID. We have that option as well, which was actually our second biometric that Dan and Digital Insight offered us. And then now with obviously Android fingerprint, it's taken a hold very rapidly. Just starting with Touch ID alone with Apple, most people that used it in the beginning, used Touch ID to log into their Arizona Federal account in the beginning. Those were kind of like the natives. They've already used thumbprint. They've already used fingerprint to log into other apps because Apple was that first truly great, fingerprint reader on a phone.
It works.
Yeah, and it works, yes. And me being an Android guy, it pains me to say it, but yes, it works extremely well. So in the very beginning, we had people that grasped that caught on. Now we have 65% of our membership of members that have the eligible phone, iPhone 5S and above, have signed up and registered for that process. So, and to put in perspective on how rapidly, it was 60% as of the end of January. It's now jumped up an additional 5%. At the end of February as well. So, I mean, that's been remarkable, and that's just on the iPhone side. Diving into the iPrint, we obviously have that opportunity where somebody can scan the iris of their eyes, that took hold for the people that didn't have a fingerprint reader with the iPhone. And then, as Dan alluded to just recently, we now have obviously Android fingerprint as well. So it's been great.
So you guys are covered, it sounds like. Yeah. You want to add anything to that, Dan?
Yeah, and I think what we found, and this is why I love working with Arizona Federal Credit Union, that they're willing to try these things before others see that use case, that reason, because they're so mobile-centric. They're thinking not just about today, but a year from now, 2 years from now. And so when we talk about Touch ID, one of the things that just blew my mind was how valuable it is. It's not just about doing something that's cool. It's also about being able to get people to engage with the app more often.
Yeah.
So what we found is that people who adopted Touch ID log into the app 26% more per month than they did previously to it.
I totally get that. Totally get it. Because, I mean, I have an iPhone 6 with the Touch ID, but I have an old iPad mini where I still have to put in my passcode every time, and it's just, like, driving me up the wall. So it's So I get it. I get it why there's a higher rate.
Yeah, and we're really focused on making sure that consumers are engaging with their institution's brand. So if you're able to take that friction out of the process to drive a login from 19 times a month to 22, that's three more times where you're thinking about your institution, that you're interacting with it. So convenience, also in essence, it's marketing too, because that brand touch. And when it comes to all of this, and this is what I love about what Android Fingerprint is doing from day one, is it's also a, dare I say, in many facets, a more secure way than using your username and password. Your username and password becomes, in essence, a factor of MFA, and then you're able to then use your biometric to log in. And one of the cool things that happens with Android is it allows us to discern who's added fingerprints at that time, so that when you first log into the Android banking app and then you activate using Android Fingerprint, if that set of fingerprints change, we've made sure that it will not be able to log you back in the next time. So say if somebody adds the finger to the device, kind of like what you can with an Apple today, then we'll go, hey, it's changed, you need to re-enroll. So we have the right security, we have the right convenience. So we get both. And there's not so many times in life where you get an and. You get your cake and you get to eat it too.
I like that. Man, Dan, you're full of the analogies today. I love it. Very nice.
You got to get them on a sports analogy. Exactly. That's where he's king, I have to say.
Let's see, where can we go here? Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the security concerns, because there was that deal with the Apple, with the iTouch, people just adding their fingerprints, and that's kind of a little bit of a backdoor, so to speak. So it sounds like Android has that covered. I'm sure Apple's at work on doing something there too.
And they actually just released the capability to do that as part of the iOS 9 updates.
Yep.
And so that will be rolling out for us in our next update as well, to have that exact same experience, because you can't have cool banking, you can't have easy banking without security first.
Yep. That's the double-edged sword right there that we all tread on every day. Now, Eric, I mean, let's step back a little bit. Why did you guys implement this stuff? I mean, was your membership like clamoring for it? It's like, we gotta do this iScanner, we gotta have Touch ID. Or was it just something, hey, you know what, we're a forward-thinking credit union, let's just go for it, because this is where we're going anyway, so let's just do it.
So I'm going to say it's yes to all of those kind of answers. To start, the number one reason why we want to do this is, you know, you're giving a member options. They have options, and we are really driving to go mobile first. We are, you know, currently a brick and mortar financial institution with a digital channel. We're striving more towards a digital first financial institution with a brick and mortar channel. So if we're going to do that, if we're going mobile more, we need to make sure that they can log in easily and not forget passwords. And we just want to make it convenient for our members. So I always say it's options. If somebody can choose to keep doing the same password, that's fine. If they have the capabilities for iPhone, for Touch ID, they can do it. Now with Android, once all phones are upgraded to 6.0 and they have a fingerprint reader, they can also use it on Android. Okay. But then you know, but it's funny though, because, you know, one of the things you said was, well, you know, were they clamoring for it? So yeah, you know, Touch ID, there was a little bit. So the people have already used it, kind of like I alluded to in the very beginning.
Right.
And they're saying, yeah, I want this. I can get this at my other institution. Please give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, iPrint was one of those things where people weren't clamoring for it. They didn't really know about it.
Exactly.
And so that was one of the better things. So whenever we rolled that out, the idea was, hey, you know what? There's Android the iPhone users, they have fingerprint. What are we going to do for the rest of our membership?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do for the people with slightly older phones that don't have a fingerprint reader or Android? And so that's where Digital Insights, was smart on saying, hey, we have another option for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that took off pretty good. I mean, that took off with our members as well. We have, it's slightly lower than obviously fingerprint. I myself believe fingerprint is very simple. But with the iPrint, it is extremely fast as well.
Yeah.
And so we had a, you know, it took off. And one of the things that was interesting was the fact that we have a lot of iPhone users that are using iPrint. It's just, and you know, me and Dan kind of talked about this before, but if somebody's outside and it's in the cold and they're wearing gloves, they don't want to necessarily take off their gloves to, you know, to log in. Mm-hmm. And it's just clunky to type in a password on your phone. So they're using their eyes. And so it, again, just gives further options. And then, you know, the thing you talk about forward thinking, we do. I mean, I want to say, I think every institution thinks that they're forward thinking, and most of them are. And, yep. And I think, you know, I'm going to be a statistic. I agree. I think we are trying to be forward thinking. We do have a big digital strategy that has been vetted through leadership, and we, you know, we have a lot of buy-in there because it, you know, digital really is the wave of the future. I'm preaching to the choir. I wouldn't be on this webinar right now if other people didn't think that. But at the same time, it's been very successful just for our members, and our members, nothing but positive results.
Indeed. Very cool. Yeah. That kind of segues to my next question is like, what kind of feedback have you gotten from members? And Dan, you can chime in here too as well.
Oh, I'm going to make just beg that Eric tells the story about his visits to the branch and with a population of his members who I would not have expected to be using biometrics. It was a pleasant surprise. And kind of with that, I'm going to pass it over to Eric to tell that story. Yeah. It's good.
Okay. So yeah, we, you know, with, you know, one of the things we wanted to try is just like a mobile workshop. We do branch visits, meaning my team and I, we'll go out to our branches. We want to make sure that our staff feels comfortable with the technology because obviously they're the ones that are they're the forward thinking team. And so we want to really make sure that if they get it, then they can sell it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And so when we go out to them, when we go there, we meet members, we talk with members, we show them. I mean, we usually get, I mean, we're always going to get a few people that are going to sign up right there on the spot while we're kind of demonstrating.
That'd be me.
I can tell you. But we also, I will tell the one story. We did have a mobile workshop where we had, we didn't think we were going to get a whole lot of people. We just wanted to throw it out there just for a select area, just to say, hey, if you have questions on mobile, please come in. And so in doing so, the people that came in, the members that came in were of the older generation, mm-hmm. People that I would never have thought would have taken hold of using this type of technology. So a lot of them came in with their notepad full of passwords. And which was at first kind of astounding, but at the same time, there's just education around the fact that you do have other options. And so a lot of them have heard about it, and they, the best thing in the world is everybody wanted to try the fingerprint or the eye print idea, and it was amazing. The thing that was the most heart-wrenching was the fact that there were a couple of these members that just had a really old phone. They had the flip phone, and seeing
they brought in their rotary phone from home.
Yeah, seeing their faces when they couldn't use the technology, it was one of the more heartbreaking. But at the same time, they said, "You know what? I have my plans up. I'm going to look to upgrade to a smartphone." So I'm like,
"Sweet,
wow, that's pretty impressive." So you know, we always think, "Oh yeah, only younger generations, only us millennials, we'll be the ones using it." Well, yeah, they're using it, but all generations love this type of technology. Yeah. That was the pleasant surprise, specifically with iPrint, because there is a creepiness factor in the beginning. You know, it's you're looking at yourself, and if you're not used to that, you become a little self-conscious, like, sure. Oh man, my eyes look like that. You know, but this it took on. I mean, it grabbed hold of some of our members, and they absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's very James Bond-ish type of thing. You know, it's just cool. It's just, man, and I think the publicity as well is pretty cool for your credit union too. I mean, there's a marketing effect here too. That's hey, look, we're jumping into the science fiction pool here, and we are we're already into the 22nd century type of thing with this type of technology. So there's that factor as well. Dan, what is up next with biometrics? It sounds like the sky is the limit here. It sounds like, and it's fun too.
So I think the first thing that we want to do is we want to make sure that we're getting that same value that we found with Touch ID, is going back and looking at the data on iPrint and going back and looking at the data we'll be getting for Android Fingerprint. Because one of the points Eric raised is for Android Fingerprint, And unlike with Apple, in the Android ecosystem, as you get the providers pushing out the updates to move to the next OS, and as mm-hmm. the hardware starts to upgrade, mm-hmm. we'll really start to see this take off. And this go from something that's only available on Google's latest and greatest phones to a much broader market, yep. specifically at Samsung.
Yep.
So once we see that sort of confidence, the thing that we then start to think about for biometrics that's next is, what's a big problem that we can solve? And Eric and I were geeking out because we just co-presented at BAI down in San Diego this week, and or over, depending on where you're at in the country. Yeah. And we were asked to give a prediction of where we're going. And generally, I personally hate that part when I'm in the audience. If the prediction is really like bogus, 5 years out, there will yeah. be robots running the world sort of stuff. And we both said the same thing. We were literally just going to do one prediction for each of us, figuring we're not going to align. And that prediction was voice. And we came back to voice because of the fact that it's unique. We're all mm-hmm. different in that sense. Yeah. But also an important area of interacting with an institution is a call center. So when you think about the value of using voice, not just on your device, but being able to expedite engaging with somebody when you have a question, mm-hmm. that value is there. And so one of the important parts for me about biometrics is making sure the value is multidimensional. That, not that it's just, well, it's better for the institution now because they can verify my identity. No, it's also good for the consumer because now they can engage quicker. They don't have to be asked six different ways who they are when they call into a call center after they have already entered all that information in the dial system. So voice then could be used to unlock, to engage.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
And it's crazy because I don't want to give numbers for institutions, but so many people in this day and age still call an institution.
Of course.
And even the people with technology, it blows my mind to think about even the mobile user who wants all that on the app, mm-hmm. it still will call in because they want that human interaction.
Of course.
So let's make that better. That's what's next, I think, for us.
Hey, are you guys getting like any commission or any kickbacks from the phone companies, from AT&T and Verizon, for prompting these people to upgrade their phones?
No, I was thinking about that, though. I was like, I, you know.
Business opportunity? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, and no. I was the same thing, too. I was like, I'm short on my commitment, potentially. Time to go figure out a new way to generate revenue. So exactly. Come on, we'll go on the road.
All right, well, let me know, all right? Okay, to wrap up, guys, I mean, from both of you, I mean, what advice would you have for credit unions who want to venture down this road? Because, I mean, again, you guys are really, there's very few credit unions that are doing this right now, but I think the tidal wave is coming. So, I mean, what advice do you have for credit unions who want to venture down this road?
You know, I'll tackle it. I can tackle it from the credit union perspective. You know, the first thing you need to do is obviously get a vision. Where do you want your credit union to go? Once you do that, I mean, for us, we're committed. We want to go digital a lot more. But once you do that, then everything else aligns. So, you know, for us, we have digital. So what does that mean? You know, it's ease of use. It's logging in. It's more self-service. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in biometrics, I guess just in just mobile in general, once you figure that out, you're good to go. Then the next thing you got to do, find it either internally hire people that can help you see that vision, or work with a trusted partner. You know, like for us, we use Digital Insight for our mobile and online. But you know, they're trusted on. I do know that their security measures are pretty intact, and sometimes I want to do certain things that I'm like, oh, this would be great, but then I kind of get calmed down by Dan to say, wait a minute, you
know, real man, security, real man. You know?
And so that's big for us. After that, the thing that we're not scared to do, like Dan said before, we're not scared to try it. I mean, if you're going to do it, give it a shot.
Yeah.
For biometrics, you know, one of the things that came up with. What if people just don't like this at all? Well, that's fine. You can just use your password still. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't necessarily take away the password. Mm-hmm. So if they don't want to try it, that's fine. Just giving the options is big. So, okay. You know, that it's kind of generalized, but, you know, that's my advice.
Okay. And Dan, you want to wrap it up here?
Sure. Thanks. So regardless of what provider that you are using, internal, external, I think there's really three points of advice. The first being, consumers are growing to expect this because they see that it's possible in other apps. They see it in their devices. So there's an expectation for it. Mm-hmm. You can mm-hmm. see this also, that kind of starts to segue into my second point. You can see this with institutions like, I'm going to pick on a money setter who have not adopted certain things, and there's an expectation and a demand and a kind of a blowback in their app store ratings. So you see that expectation there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not about when you adopt, I would argue. It's not about if you adopt, it's when you adopt, because the demand is there and it's becoming table stakes. And that leads to the second point. If you adopt early enough, it's an opportunity to differentiate in your market and be able to get advantage of that for that period of time where you are on that leading edge before other institutions drop. And it's not as risky as biometric sounds. While Hollywood makes for great entertainment, but when you look in reality how the technology works, there's numerous white papers from Apple and other providers like Google on how their technology works, how to manage risk. They built in intuitive ways to control that. And it's no different, I would argue, how a biometric should be set up than a username and password. Mm-hmm. You have to have the same controls, and any good provider should be able to clearly articulate that to them.
Indeed. This is so exciting, guys. So exciting to see where it was, how far it's come, and then where we're going with it. So it's really cool. And one of the things I was hearing at the GAC when I was there a couple weeks ago is, you know, credit unions want to be relevant. That's one of the big things they want to be relevant. This is a piece of the pie that keeps them relevant and actually probably elevates them as well as doing this type of stuff. So it's really exciting for the industry. So I applaud both of you guys for pushing that envelope really, really well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys.